All right, everyone, welcome back to Stack the Pads, your men's and women's hockey podcast for the foreseeable future here at Robert Morris, because we don't really know what's going on with anything in the year 2020. We have a very, very, very special guest here joining us today. John Hanna is not here. He has prior commitments for this episode, so it's just going to be me along with our very special guest. We have a versatile forward here. She can play any forward position. She's mostly a passer, but she still can definitely score goals when she needs to. She had a career-high 44 points last season, which is good for second in the CHA. Her 92 points in her 3 years is good for eighth all-time in RMU women's hockey history. Please welcome senior captain from your RMU women's hockey team, Lexi Templeman.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you. This is we've finally finished the trifecta of having arguably three of the greatest players in the past couple of years come on the show. The first line for last year, we had Boyle, you, and Gebhard. So we finally got all three of them on the podcast, so it's very exciting to have you on. But before we get into your career, which is really what I want to focus on mainly today, we do have some news to cover. Men's hockey has officially announced their schedule. They will start Friday, November 20th. Obviously, you're not on the men's hockey team, but what do you think of this as a women's hockey player in general? You guys share the same arena with them. What do you think about the AHA's plan for return to play? And have you like been following up with what's been going on in the AHA?
Yeah, so I have been staying kind of up to date on what's happening in the Atlantic Conference, our men's hockey conference. But for the most part, we're really excited for them to get playing. And obviously, we're here to support them and wishing them all the best. And we hope that everything goes well with the start of their season so that we're able to kind of follow in a similar manner and start our season too. So we're really excited for the news that they're going to be starting here soon, hopefully, and looking forward to hopefully starting as well.
Now, obviously, there's been some, I don't like to use the word issue that frequently, but there has been a small COVID outbreak in terms of Army athletics. As much as you can you tell us a little bit about what's been going on in athletics? You said you're quarantined right now. What's the status overall in terms of practices? In terms of quarantines, and what can you just tell us from a player's perspective?
Yeah, so obviously with the state that the world is in right now in a global pandemic, you kind of have to be on your toes and expecting whatever kind of gets thrown at you. So obviously there has been a little bit of an outbreak within the athletics. I wouldn't call it a major outbreak, but there has been some cases in Army athletics. Therefore, they have kind of recommended that most teams start to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that's kind of what we're doing right now, just to take every precaution so that it doesn't spread more within the school and within athletics. So that's kind of where we're at right now with that. And we're just kind of going to take our 2 weeks and then we're going to get back at it. So obviously quarantining means no practicing right now for these 2 weeks, but we're going to do our best to do home workouts and stay prepared as best as we can. So whatever it takes, and whatever we're able to do at home, we're going to do, and then we're going to get back after it and be ready as soon as we get back to practicing.
Also something that's been in the news very prominently is the U.S. election. What is it like being a Canadian in a time like this where, I mean, it seems like every American is at each other's throats?
Yeah, it's my first time being in the States for the election. So definitely an experience. And I hear this has been like the craziest one yet. So definitely something to experience. But I think that because the U.S. is such a dominant force in the world, I think this election actually carries much farther than just the United States. Canada, whatever happens, will have some sort of effect on Canada, regardless, because of the different decisions that will be made depending on who the president is. So it actually does have some effect on us as Canadians. Not that I really have that much of an opinion on what happens, but it's definitely interesting to watch it all go down, though, and be around a lot of Americans during this time because they are very strong strongly opinionated, and it's very interesting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving away from kind of the news in general and just the weirdest year in history that we've probably had here, let's dive a little bit into your career. You grew up in Staffa, Ontario. How do I pronounce that? Staffa?
Yeah.
Staffa, Ontario. You learned to skate when you were very young. You had two older brothers that kind of motivated you. How important is an early start into having a career in hockey? Because, I mean, me personally, I played hockey and I only started when I was like 12, and it was hard for me to catch up skating wise. How important is it to get an early start in terms of skating and just overall the game of hockey?
Yeah, I think it's very important. Being Canadian, I think we were born with skates on a lot of the time. But like, I think that that's just embedded within us and kind of in our blood. And especially growing up in a family where my siblings all played hockey too, I think it was just natural for me to learn to play hockey. But I think that getting an early start does give you an advantage over a lot of people, because I was able to skate well by the time I was three, and then I was able to start playing like an organized to an extent type of hockey when I was four. So I think that me being able to skate early gave me an advantage over a lot of other kids that maybe couldn't skate till they were a little older in life. So I think that it gives you an extra advantage, but I also think that kids have the ability, if they do start later, it's kind of like if they want it bad enough, maybe they don't start till they're six, but maybe they're a very like driven kid, and I think that they can catch you up to speed pretty quick too.
Did you play any other sports growing up, or was it just hockey?
I also played soccer and baseball, softball, growing up, and actually still continue to play them on a normal year in the summer.
Oh, yeah? Wow. What kind of leagues do you play there?
Just, like, recreational leagues, yeah. Like, just fun.
Position-wise, do you ever play any other positions growing up? I know you're very versatile in terms of you can play center, you can play wing, and you can take face-offs while you're playing wing. Do you ever play defense or, heck, even goalie when you were little?
No, I've honestly never played a different position other than forward, but my sister was a goalie, so it's kind of always nice to have her to be able to shoot on growing up.
Yeah, that's definitely an advantage there. Something that's kind of overlooked is that you're a right-handed shot. Usually Canadian hockey players, they're left-handed. I guess it's not really what prompted you to be a right-handed. It's obviously more comfortable for you there, but are there any advantages that you've noticed in your game and your playing career that being a right-handed shot has for you?
I think it was a really big advantage actually last year having playing with Jay, and then her being a left shot and myself being a right, because naturally centermen tend to be stronger on their backhand winning faceoffs.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was able to take most of the faceoffs on my backhand, and she was able to take most of them on her backhand, and we actually were able to win a good percentage of the faceoffs due to always being able to take them on our strong hands. But I think overall it doesn't give me any advantage, but when I'm playing in certain positions or with certain people, it definitely can give an advantage, and it's nice to have somebody that's strong in both hands, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, absolutely. Along those same type of lines, it's something that may seem unimportant to like the casual hockey fan, but it still could make like somewhat of a difference. Why number 10?
Well, I've kind of had a lot of different numbers growing up, and my favorite numbers always were between 10 and 20 that were even. So I like double digits just between 10 and 20 though, and that were even. So I've been number 12 and number 16 and even 14 for one summer league. And then when I was coming in, 16 was my junior number and it was taken. And so I think I had like 14 as an option and 10, and I didn't really care between the two of them. I was kind of like, oh, whatever, I'll pick one. And 10's really grown on me. Like now it's like my number for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like it wasn't really a thing when I came to school, but now it's really grown on me in the last 4 years.
You've had it all. You, okay. So you have had it all 4 years.
Yeah.
When was, well, you start playing for the PWHL, the Provincial Women's Hockey League, one game for the Blue Water Hawks, and then eventually for the Kitchener Waterloo Lady Rangers. 109 games played, 26 goals, 46 assists, 72 points in your PWHL career. What was that overall experience like in your 3 years there? And what lessons did you learn that you still take with you today?
Yeah, my overall experience in the PWHL, I would say it was really awesome overall. I think that league is one of the best leagues for women's hockey players looking to be recruited, for sure. I think that the talent in Ontario as a whole is very high, and there are a lot of people that do play NCAA coming out of that league. I know a lot of people, especially in my year, my graduation year of 2017, have been really successful in the NCAA and CIS for that matter. The league overall, it's very challenging and it does push you to your limits, especially I started out playing in grade 10. So I was young and I'm built a lot smaller than a lot of people. So it definitely pushed me to my limits physically and mentally a lot of times. And I think one of the biggest takeaways that I took from that and still continue to use today what is I have to play like I'm a lot bigger than I am. So I have to battle harder. I have to be faster. I have to play as a small person, but I have to play like I'm big.
Like a Johnny Gaudreau.
Yes.
Was this around the time in your career when, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but when in your career did you start to realize that, hey, I'm pretty good at hockey. I could potentially, go play for college. When was that in your career?
Yeah, I would definitely say it was probably in my second year of junior, but maybe the summer between my first and second year, when college coaches finally started like reaching out to me and it kind of became more of a reality. Growing up, it was tough being only 5'2", like being a small player because like I got cut from some hockey teams just solely based on my height. They told me like you're just not big enough, like you just aren't gonna be strong enough. So there was a lot of roadblocks, I would say, along my path, just getting told kind of like that I wouldn't be good enough, I would never make it far enough just because of my height. And I mean, not that it's something that I can control, but it was just what they told me. So I think that was kind of in the back of my head a little bit. And then a coach that I had earlier in my life was actually the coach of the junior team, and he invited me to come try out for the team. And then I ended up making it that first year in grade 10. And I mean, it was like an honor to make. And I was like, sh not shocked that I made it, but kind of shocked a little bit because it is a really high level. And then I had an okay first year. It was tough playing against a lot of people that were older. But the second year, I kind of had more of a breakout year. And that's when I kind of realized that, oh, maybe something will come out of this.
Yeah, and it definitely did. Later on in your career, you were the Team Ontario captain, if I'm understanding correctly. For what tournament was that exactly? I wasn't able to find that.
So every year, Canada hosts under 18
Okay,
nationals.
so it is the U18s. Okay.
Yeah.
What was that experience like to be, the captain of that team, and how much of an impact did just a simple week-long tournament have in your career overall?
Yeah, it was awesome. Definitely one of my top hockey moments so far in my life, but it was just awesome to spend a week with a group of girls that you were totally unfamiliar with, most of them, and coming together and playing for a national championship. Everyone has the same goal in their mind, and everyone's there for the same reasons and wants to win. And I mean, they're elite hockey players, and it was just really awesome to get to work with a group of girls that was so dedicated and driven, and definitely was a pivotal moment in my career in the sense that it made me into a better person, a better leader. You just like realize a lot of different things when you have only a week to come together with a bunch of strangers and make something happen on the ice. So Definitely took a lot of learning tips from that tournament and was able to bring them back to my own junior team and then into college as well.
Yeah, I imagine that tournament did a lot for you in terms of recognizability. It got you kind of, for lack of better words, on the map. A lot of more people that started to pay attention to you and realize what you could do. When was it in your career that you started to get looked by colleges and eventually Robert Morris?
Yeah, I would say it was in my second year of junior. There was a couple schools reach out to me in the summer before my second season, as I went to a couple like recruiting tournaments, I guess you would call them, like summer tournaments where there's like a bunch of scouts like looking to recruit. I went to a couple of those tournaments in that summer, and then Robert Morris actually reached out to me in September of my second season of junior, so pretty early. And it was after our very first tournament in Vermont, and I had had like a really good weekend. I think I put up maybe like 8 points in 6 games or something. Wow. And they reached out to me and asked me to come for a visit, and it all kind of fell into place from there. But definitely had to keep working hard, as some girls on my team were already committed to different places, like some girls on my junior team. And sometimes that can be like weighing you down in the back of your mind, like, oh, why am I not committed yet, kind of thing. But I think that like trusting that something was going to come from it all is something that was really important.
Did you ever cross paths with anyone that you played against or with in the CHA? I don't think you played with, did you play with anyone that you, or at Robert Morris that you played with in the past?
No, I do remember some people from like tournaments. Mm-hmm. Emily Harley, I played with her in like a summer tournament 1 year. And then Angelica, I played against her team after we were both committed. So we kind of knew that we were going to be going to the same school. But other than that, I didn't really play against anyone or with anyone.
Well, when you finally got to RMU, I guess you've probably been asked this question a bunch, but what made you choose RMU?
Yeah, so RMU is like a very small school, obviously. So, and that's kind of, if anyone's ever been to Staffa and know where I come from, very small town, really not even a town, but it's more like country land and open roads, but it's just like a very small town feeling here. I don't think that I could go from where I live back home to some big school. So I think that the small school, definitely one of the biggest factors, and like small classroom sizes. Like, I'm lucky enough that I have a good relationship with all of my professors, and I know them all by name and they know me by name. I'm not just a number in the classroom. No. And I think that the hockey program here is, was definitely like, and still continues to move in the right direction, like where I want to be, where we want to be headed. When I, the year before I came in, they had just won a CHA championship. So I wouldn't say RMU in the past, like years ago, was like the most recognized, but now we're consistently like making it into the top 10, like getting ranked. So
hosting a tournament with Wisconsin in it. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So we're definitely getting our name on the map more and more each year, which is what I was looking for too.
What did you expect from yourself going into play college hockey? I mean, obviously I don't think you expected to be 8th overall in franchise points right when you were entering your freshman year, but what were your expectations for your first year coming in?
I'm not gonna lie, my first year coming in, my one goal in my mind was kind of like, I just don't want to get scratched. Like, yeah. I don't want to sit. And that was like the first goal, is like, I'm going to work my way into the lineup. Like, that was the thing, is that I want to be in the lineup. And then once I kind of was like in the lineup, I was like, okay, now I want to be better. Like, I never did I dream I would be in like the record books of any sort here. It's kind of
step by step.
When you're coming from junior, right, it's a stepping stone. And when you're coming from junior, you kind of just, you don't really know what to expect exactly. So I'm, here I am just like, just don't get scratched, like just work to play. And now it's like, all right, I'm working for like even more ice time. I'm working to like make my teammates better. I'm working to make myself better day in and day out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't mean to be sound rude by this question, but you did mention earlier that your class, the class of 2021, like Corlett, Harley, you are the first class that has never won a CHA title. Last year, the seniors on it, Gebhard and Marcucci, they won it their freshman year. How much of a motivation does that like statistic mean to you that you can be, you can win it yourself and motivate other players on this team to have that experience going forward?
Yeah, for sure. We obviously we've made it to the finals all 3 years. So we've been that close 3 times. And so I think that what better way would there be for us to end college hockey for the six of us than to get a ring? And I think that last year, Jay, Crash, and Kuzi were all like extremely motivated to win a ring with us. And they already had one and they were extremely motivated. And now I look at our group and I'm like, not a single person here has won a ring. So like, why not us? Like, why not go out and win one this year? It'd be a first time for everyone and it'd be a really good experience, especially for us seniors to end with. And I think that some people don't realize like how quickly you can miss an opportunity or how quick the 4 years goes by. So I think that for the freshmen, like we can tell them, like, look, like we've been in the finals 3 years and we haven't won it once. Like, you don't know when you're gonna get your opportunity again. So I think that that's kind of gonna be our motivation this year is to not let another one pass by us.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting dynamic with that because you look at Gebhard, she won it her freshman year, and then unfortunately she was never able to win another one, and hopefully that'll happen to some of the freshmen this year. But you guys were able to win back-to-back CHA regular season championships in your time there. What was it like to be a part of those teams?
Yeah, it was really awesome and really exciting. Obviously, the end goal is to win that CHA championship and get the bid to the NCAA tournament, but winning the regular season was huge and it was a really exciting time. And I remember my second year, President Howard came out on the ice and was celebrating with us. And it just goes to show that, like, even though we may have lost in the CHA finals, like, we won the regular season.
Yeah.
So, like, we are right there and, like, we're competing and like we're making a name for
You're
ourselves
a
every single
contender.
year. Yeah, every year in and year out, like we're making a name for ourselves. And like, even though we might have lost like the championship game in the playoffs, like we won the regular season, like we're right there kind of thing. So, I think that it's good for our school and this like celebrating it was definitely fun.
Moving on to your sophomore year, how much did your role on the team increase from year in and year out after your freshman year to your sophomore year? And when was it in your career that you started playing with JC?
From freshman year to sophomore year, my role actually increased a lot. That's kind of when I went from like a player that was just like wanting to play and then wanting to play more and stuff. And then I was like, by sophomore year, I was like, okay, like I'm kind of like a key player. Like I need to be here to motivate my teammates. Like I need to make sure they're doing their best. 'Cause as a freshman, you're kind of like, okay, like I just don't want to get yelled at or I don't want to bring anyone down, like bring the team down at all. But then now as a sophomore, you're kind of on the opposite spectrum and you're like, okay, now I need to be that person bringing the rest of our team up. I need to be a leader and I need to be motivating people. So I think that it was a very big jump and my role did change a lot. Sophomore year, I kind of got thrown around the lineup a lot. I was up, down. I played with a lot of different people, but I think that it helped build my character a lot, being able to play with a lot of different people, and all over the lineup, and coach can kind of trust me wherever he puts me. So I think it is kind of an honor in that sense. But I did play with JC a little bit in sophomore year, more towards the last half, I would say. We played together a good amount. We were on the same line mostly, and then except for like the odd game. And then moving into junior year last year, we were able to play together full time, which was really nice that we had already had some experience from my freshman year.
Whenever I talked to Gebhard in the past, she always was like phenomenal. I mean, she was a phenomenal player, but I would always ask her like, "What's the key to her success?" And she always gave me the Sidney Crosby answer. She'd be like, "Oh, well, it's my teammates." Well, now we have one of her most prominent line mates over the past couple of years. What do you think about that dynamic with Gebhard, and when did the chemistry really click for you guys?
Well, Jay, she's an unbelievable player, and I mean very humble, like girl, like she broke every record here almost, and yeah, she really left her mark on this school. But I think that she is right in the sense that nobody could do it alone. Nobody could do it without the help of their teammates, their line
Absolutely.
mates, their coaches, support staff. So I think that in that sense, she's right. But again, I couldn't do it without her. I couldn't do it without my teammates, the rest of the coaching staff, the support staff, everyone. But she is a very, very talented player, and she has a knack for finishing, and that, and she can pass really well as well. So she's kind of got it all there. But I think that for us two, we kind of clicked instantly. Back in sophomore year, whenever we played together, we were able to do a lot of damage, I would say, and we're able to put up a lot of points when we were together. I think that just our playing styles and our intensity and wanting to win, and we just like worked really well together, and we always wanted the best for our team. Like, we always wanted the best to create the best scoring opportunity. So if I had the puck and I had a great shot, and like say I didn't score, like she would always be like, "Hey, that's a good shot. Like, take that," instead of passing to her if I had a more open lane. Like, we both worked well off each other, and we were able to communicate well and understand each other well, and we were good friends off the ice. So I think that especially friendships off the ice help a lot leading to on the ice communication.
Yeah, you guys were kind of, I guess you would the you'd be like the kind of a reverse of what a typical like center and winger kind of relationship would be. You were mostly like the assister on a bunch of Gebhard's goals. Do you I'm assuming you take pride in your passing game. You remind me of like a Sedin, the way that you're able to like see through lanes and be able to get sticks on pucks. It's tremendous. Is that something you take pride in?
Yeah, thank you for those comments. But yeah, definitely something I take pride in. Personally, I do wish I could score like a few more goals. I am not much of a scorer, but I mean, I tend to find the net a few times during the year. But my goal for this year is to score more goals. But I think that my passing is definitely something I take pride in. I've kind of always been more of a passer and more of like a heads up player, and being able to find the open person, which is something a lot of people actually can't do. So I feel like I have good awareness and good, good ability to be able to see the rest of the ice and make heads up plays. But working with someone like Jay, especially, that was able to finish well and score a lot of goals, made my job easy. Get her the puck and find her, and she'll put it in.
Yeah.
So I think that that's another reason why we work so good together, is if I found her, like, I knew she was going to score, and she always worked to get herself open, so she was pretty easy to find.
Yeah, you guys also, I noticed watching you guys play together, you guys worked on a bunch of set plays together. And if you guys were up in a game and wanted to try something out, you would do it. I specifically remember there was like one game where you guys won a face-off forward in the offensive zone, went behind the net and like did some crazy play, and it really was just fun to watch. How often in practice did you guys like practice those set plays together and just feed off of just how talented you guys are?
Yeah, I would say we practiced it like the odd time, but I wouldn't say it was something that we even pulled out much in practice to work on. Some plays more than others, but there was a couple times where we just decided like mid-game, like if one of us saw an opening that we wanted to try, or like saw something that we thought we could pull off. It was more like a last minute decision, I would say, a lot of the time. There are some things that we did try and practice and like try to nail down, but I think that a lot of the time it was just like both of our strong hockey awareness and hockey IQ that we would recognize something mid-game and then just be able to pick it up and make something happen from it.
So moving on to your junior year, You know, even though you guys didn't get the results you wanted with losing in the CHA final, you guys were still able to finish the season overall. Could you even imagine, like, if you were in the shoes of a team, say, like, basketball or men's hockey, whose seasons were canceled, like, right in the middle of a playoff run?
No, that is the thing that I am fortunate about. Obviously, I did not want to lose, and losing was an absolute heartbreaker, but I think that it would have been a really tough pill to swallow too, having our season canceled. So I am glad we got to finish out the year, and it wasn't like our season, it wasn't like we played our last game and we didn't know it was going to be our last game or it could be our last game. Like, I guess anyone in a playoff situation was kind of on the same page, but men's hockey were, I think that maybe they were going to play a series.
Yeah,
so,
they're in the midst of a series, and then they won, and then they advanced, and then they never got to play it.
Right. So then they didn't even know that, like, when they made that their last game, when they were up in their last game and moving on, that that was going to be their last game. Like, we knew going into the CHA finals that it had a possibility of being our last game, especially for those seniors, like, on our team. But I think that it would have been really tough, not finishing out as much as losing sucked.
When did you personally go home for quarantine when this all happened, and how were you able to condition? How challenging was it to try and stay on the ice and stay in game shape and things like that?
Yeah, so I actually headed home on March 13th. I think it was a Friday. I packed up all my stuff and headed home and hoped that it wasn't going to be for very long. Like, I hoped to come back, you know, in like a month or so and say goodbye to our seniors and say goodbye to my teammates. But that just wasn't the case. I ended up being home until August when I came back here. But conditioning and working out and skating was definitely a challenge. A lot of it, for a lot of the summer, I did home workouts just kind of with whatever I could find, and like conditioning, just like running and doing different conditioning at my house. As far as skating, I really actually didn't get to skate until the end of July. So I was off from March until July.
Wow. Is that the longest you've been without skating in your entire career?
Yeah, I can honestly say I think it's the longest I've ever been off skates in my life.
Wow.
Since I started skating. So it was crazy. And, but Ontario shut down, and was quite strict. So a lot of the arenas were closed for a very long time, and there was not really any ice available, anywhere around me, due to the pandemic. So I just kind of had to be patient and wait and kind of hope for the best and keep positive thoughts that everything was going to open back up and I was going to be okay again. It does kind of get you worried when you spend that long off ice. You're like, am I ever going to skate again?
Yeah.
But it was definitely nice then. Every ice time I take, like, now you don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
Like, when you just never know a lot of times, like, what's going to happen. And even in today's continuing world, like, we have no idea when we're going to get shut down again, quite possibly, or whatever could happen. So just not taking anything for granted, I think.
Well, in the midst of this pandemic, you were named captain for your senior year. How important is it for you to be the captain in the midst of everything that's going on? Like, how have you been in contact with the rest of your teammates over quarantine, and then now eventually when we got back to campus? And obviously no one on the team has been through anything like this before, but how important is it to you to be one of the captains on this team and a leader through something that we hopefully will never have to live through again in our entire lives?
Yeah, it's really important to me, and it's an honor to be chosen as a captain. And it's definitely a challenge this year, but I think that it's a challenge that we're all dealing with and handling very well. All summer, our team would have, like, some random, like, FaceTimes or, like, Zoom calls that were, like, not mandatory, but just, like, if anyone wanted to jump on, kind of to chat and catch up and have some fun. So, and then we would stay in contact through like our texting group chat and whatever. So I think that we did a really good job at staying in contact all summer. which was important because everyone was struggling and going through different things, but the same thing overall. But some people were able to skate, some people weren't, some people's gyms were open, some people's weren't. So we were all going through the same pandemic, but it definitely differed from person to person on what they had access to. And then since we've been back at school, it's been really nice being able to see everyone. And now that we're finally back, like skating and working out together. But it's definitely challenging because there are a lot of rules and regulations in place to keep everyone safe and healthy. So I think that it's really good those are in place. But then again, it's something none of us have had to face or deal with before. So just like making sure we're staying on top of a lot of things and continuing to stay safe and do the right things, and so that we can keep ourselves and the community around us healthy. It's really important, and it is kind of something that's always in the back of my mind right now, because as a leader, we have to kind of be there for the rest of our team and give them constant, you know, little reminders of like, oh, make sure we're doing this and make sure we're not doing this. Like just reminders that people might need because of the tough times that we're dealing with and things that we're going through.
Yeah. And obviously we still don't know much about what's going on. It's ever changing. The CHA still, an official schedule has not been released so far. But overall, before we wrap things up here, as a senior, how much have you seen this program grow in the 4 years that you've been here? Like you said on, I listened to your interview with College Hockey Talk podcast. You said that you barely even heard of RMU before you got here. And then just last year, you were playing against Wisconsin at the UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex. How much have you seen just RMU women's hockey grow as a program in your 4 years here?
Yeah, it's actually crazy. Yeah, like I said on the other podcast, I really hadn't heard of RMU until they reached out to me and contacted me about coming here. And I jumped at the opportunity. I mean, Pittsburgh is an awesome city, and I was really excited to come tour here. And then when I got here, I loved it. And I think that since I've been here to come to school here, we've grown even so much more. And like you said, playing against Wisconsin at the UPMC last year even allowed our name to get out there that much more. The fans, the amount of fans that we had at those games was unbelievable, and the amount of people that came out to support, and like even the growing number of fans that come out to our regular games. I think that the program as a whole has definitely grown a lot since I've been here, and I can't wait to see how it even grows this season and continues to grow in the seasons to come.
Last question for you. What do you hope your legacy is at RMU, and what are your plans after college in the future?
I hope I leave my legacy as like a good leader and a good person overall. I want to leave this place better than I found it. So in any way that I can, I want to, over my years, I want my legacy to be left that I left here better than I found it. So I did something, or I did many things, or just whatever it is. I helped people. I grew the program leadership-wise. Just whatever it is, I just want to leave here better than I found it. So I think that's really important to me, and something I'm striving to do. And then after college, I am studying accounting here. So I'm hoping to, I actually have a job lined up with BDO Canada after I'm done and I graduate. So that'll be exciting. And I worked for them as an intern last summer. So I'm excited for that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate having you on, the captain of RMU women's hockey for this year. As we mentioned earlier, men's hockey, men's basketball, and women's basketball have announced, or men's hockey has announced a schedule. Women's and men's basketball has announced schedules as well. Still waiting on what the CHA has plans for doing. We still don't know what's going on pretty much any day going on now. But we'll thank Lexi for coming on, and keep it tuned in here to Colonial Sports Network. I'm Owen Krepps, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.